You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles and open them unto Psalms chapter number 20. Got to get turned on here. Psalms chapter number 20 in your Bibles. And there we are. We are alive and on the air. All right. Can everyone hear me? Fellow in the back row said, "We can't hear you." Fellow in the front row said, "He can have my seat, buddy. I'm telling you." Don't you love the music around here? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Yeah. And by the way, there's more going on about the music program here than you know. It's great music. It's approved music, but they know where to place the songs. I mean, they started out this morning, "I'll Fly Away." And then it keeps funneling down. Now it's Jesus in Me. And coming on down to this group singing, "Precious Jesus." It's like a big funnel, narrowing down, focusing on the man. It's not just good songs. You got to know where to put the songs in the music service. Listen to this. "Trust and obey, for there's no..." That's a beautiful song. You ought to sing it, but not for the opening. If you sing that for the opening, you can go to McDonald's. It's over, boys, I'm telling you. But I mean, just to sing. I mean, you got to know where to put a song. One pastor got up Sunday morning. He was all riled up. Somebody put in an X-rated video thing down the street, two blocks, and man, he was upset, something fierce. He said, "I tell you, if I had all the pornography in the world, I'd throw it in the river. And if I had all the rock and roll music in the world, I'd throw it in the river. If I had all the dope in the world, I'd throw it in the river. Song leader, you better come. I'm getting stirred up." Song leader stepped up and sang, "Shall We Gather at the River?" Now, "Shall We Gather at the River" is a beautiful song, but that ain't the place to put it. Amen. I love the music here. We're open to Psalms chapter 20 and get right into the message now. You look so comfortable. That's why I'm going to have you stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. What a thrill it is to be here with great men of God everywhere. Brother Gravely last night, wasn't that a message from heaven? And then you're going to hear Tim Gammon yet. You're talking about a preaching man. Now you're talking about a man that looks just calm if you look at him. But boy, when he gets in the pulpit. And then, of course, that's that Tennessee tornado, Tony. I like that, don't you? Boy, I tell you what. He'll keep you awake. Amen. He'll keep you awake. I'm open to Psalms chapter number 20 and verse number 1. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." I want to call your attention to that one little phrase, "the God of Jacob." Did you know that term, "the God of Jacob," is found 25 times in your King James Bible, just that phrase, "the God of Jacob"? Did you know Adam was the only perfect man ever walked the face of God's earth outside of Jesus? But not one time in your King James Bible do you hear the term, "the God of Adam." Yeah. Enoch was so close to God, he had a premature rapture. But not one time in your King James Bible do you read the phrase, "the God of Enoch." Melchizedek, a strange creature, was so special and powerful and great that Abraham paid tithes to him. But not one time in your King James Bible do you read "the God of Melchizedek." Noah saved the whole human race when nobody else did. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But not one time do you find in your King James Bible the term "the God of Noah." Moses was the great deliverer. Not one time do you find "the God of Moses." Job suffered like no man and set a record God's been bragging on ever since. But not one time do you find a phrase, "the God of Job." The God of Elisha, the great power house for God. But not one time in your King James Bible do you find the phrase, "the God of Elisha." We find the God of Daniel one time. We find the God of Elijah one time. We find the God of Abraham 17 times, but all but 5 of those he's connected with somebody else. Guess who? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 17 times, only 5 of them standing alone, but the term the God of Jacob is found 25 times in your King James Bible. Now, there's something strange about that, and I set out to find out what it was, and I think I found it. I'm going to share it with you this morning. Let's pray as I bring you a message entitled, The God of Jacob. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thing to be under the spout where the glory comes out. What a wonderful thing, dear Lord Jesus, to be here in this place. Lord, we feel like if it wasn't so foolish, we'd say with Peter, let's build 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. But we know we'd get rebuked. Because Jesus is the center of everything. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bless us now as we bring the message, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. If I were to go through the entire Bible and pick out somebody to exalt by using that phrase, the God of, Jacob would be the last one I would pick among God's people. Jacob was a liar. Jacob was a thief. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob stole the birthright from his brother by lying to and deceiving his elderly father. Jacob later refused to be comforted in a time of sorrow when God wanted to help him up out of the pit and came down to the day of death and gave a rotten testimony to a heathen king when he said, "Few and evil have been my days and not attained to the days of the life of my fathers in their pilgrimage." He was a backslider. His very name, Jacob, meant supplanter, conniver, deceiver. And that's all I remember about Jacob very much until I got studying this message. Why in the name of common sense would God pick Jacob to exalt in such a way as that? I think I found the answer from the Bible. Before I tell you, I want you to see how this God of Jacob name is used in the Bible. Psalms 46:7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalms 75:9, I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Psalms 81:1, make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. Psalms 114:7, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 3, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. Psalms 146 verse 5, happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Exodus chapter 4 verse number 5, the God of Jacob hath appeared unto me. There's nobody in the Bible more exalted through a phrase than Jacob in this little phrase, the God of Jacob. Now, for a person like him, you got to know what in the world God had in mind. Why in the world did he do that? And I think I found the simple answer, and here it is from the Bible. I'll share it with you if you'll listen. Some people don't listen, but if you'll listen, I'll share it with you if I can keep my outline sliding off this pulpit. The God of Jacob is the God, first of all, that just shows up to totally unworthy people. I want you to look in the book of Genesis 28. Take your time, I'll wait. Genesis 28, first book of the Bible, 28th chapter. Look it up, I want you to see this. Jacob now has lied to his father, stole the birthright from his brother, and found out that his brother Esau was going to kill him. And Jacob's mother told him, said, it's time to get out of Dodge, boy. Your brother's got blood in his eyes, and he's after you. He's going to get you. And I've made arrangements with my brother Laban to have you go over there and stay with him. And you better not spend another night here. You better get moving, and you better not wait till tomorrow. And so Jacob fled for his life, backslidden, liar, deceiver, thief, backslid. And on the way over there, he got tired, and he laid down. And when he laid down, verse number 12 of Genesis 28 said he dreamed a dream. And a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and to thee and thy seed, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All of a sudden, while this backslider was asleep, running from circumstances, scared to death that his brother's going to kill him, all of a sudden he woke up and God had showed up. There's no rhyme or reason to that. But the God of Jacob is a God that we all need. The God of Jacob showed up to a totally unworthy man. And when he did, all of a sudden, dedication took place. Notice what happened here in verse 17, verse 16, 17. Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Man, I didn't even know God was around here anywhere. He didn't expect God to be around here, there anywhere. He didn't expect God to be within 10 miles of him. He knew his condition. He knew what he had done. He knew he was a liar and a deceiver and a shyster. And verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And all of a sudden, you never heard such dedication. Look in verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if the Lord will be with me and keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. Man, all of a sudden, he got dedicated, because all of a sudden, God showed up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I serve a God that can show up in your life when you are not worthy. Somebody said, you know, here's what you're doing. You're trying to climb the spiritual ladder to get up to the point you can have that God will come to you and bless you and help you. You got it backwards. You need to call on the God of Jacob. When Jacob woke up, listen, the angels were going up and down the ladder before he ever woke up. The Bible says the grace of God leads us to repentance. Amen. The grace of God leads us to repentance. We love him because why? He first loved us. I mean, you need the God of Jacob to show up in your life or you'll never reach the top of the ladder. You need the God of Jacob to show up in your life so that you can be moved and inspired to dedication and prayer. And listen, I'm just trying to tell you something. I serve the God of Jacob, the God of Jacob. He has showed up in my life. 25 years ago, cancer, they said it spread. Took out a sample. There it is. It spread. We don't know how much. We don't know whether it's doable or not. Cut me open like a watermelon, and everybody thought I'd die. Some of my children here today, they thought I'd die. I thought I'd die. My wife thought I'd die. My church thought I'd die. Everybody but God thought I was going to die. And I wish I could tell you I had great faith. I was word sick. Oh, word sick. I mean, all the things I'd preached to others, I couldn't find them. I didn't even think about them. Just a dark something hanging over my head. I was not a man of prayer. I was not a man of faith. I was not a man of I wasn't even optimistic. I just thought, I was trying to plan my funeral and didn't know what in the world I was going to do. And worried sick. And still had children at home. And the Lord, what in the world? And in all of that, they went ahead and operated on me. And they're still looking for that cancer. The God of Jacob showed up in my life. And God of Jacob, I didn't deserve it. I wasn't praying for it. I wasn't dedicated. I didn't have faith. I didn't have dedication to God. I wasn't even optimistic. But in my unworthiness, the God of Jacob just showed up in my life. Amongst all my children, most of my children are high strung like I am. Rebecca married Dr. Treber's son, sitting over here. She's just as wired as she can be. And then, of course, Joseph, he's my pastor. He acts common. He's just like me inside. But I got one of my daughters. She's a straight line. She's married to Mark Leone, who is here. And by the way, Mark Leone is assistant pastor to Brother Tim Gammon, who will be preaching for you. Sarah couldn't come, but Mark's here. And Sarah's like her mother. She's just straight line. I mean, she's not like this. The rest of us all like this, but she's just straight line. I mean, Joanna, she'll go to heaven if you don't run past it. She might run past it, but you know, and they all got that from me. It's high strung, and I got it from my daddy. My daddy was a high strung type guy. But anyway, but Sarah, she's just straight line. Sarah told me, it's been quite a while back now, she was telling me, she said, Dad, the children, Brooke and Mason, wanted to go to camp. So we told them, you want to go to camp? You got to earn some money to go to camp. They were only 9 and 11 at that time. They said, well, we don't have any way to make money. I said, yes, you do. Neighbors told me we can set up a little stand on the corner right up here, and you make some cookies and make some Kool-Aid, and I'll help you to teach you how and make you do the work, and I'll haul you up there, and I'm not selling nothing. You're going to sell it. And so they set up a table. And she said, Dad, it was hot. Oh, it was hot. Hot as a Louisiana lizard. Hot! And she said, I sat over on the tree watching those children stand out there melt. Nobody coming by. Nothing happening. Nothing at all happening. And she said, finally, I thought, this is child abuse. I got to do something. And she said, I said, children, you've done your best. We'll come back another day. She said, I went to get the little truck that Mark owns and went to back the truck up. Little did she know. And while she was backing that truck up, God was backing his truck up. And just before they could get the stuff, across the street, a fella, she called him a kid, he's old enough to drive in a pickup truck, gas in his truck across the street. He said, hey, don't take that away, I want some of that. She said, I told the children, well, let's wait and see what he wants. She said, in a little bit, he came and drove over. His daddy was with him in the front seat. Boy got out, said, what are you raising money for? I said, well, we're going to go to Christian camp. And we're trying. And so he gave him $20 apiece. Well, their daddy heard about it. He got out of the truck and gave each one of them $100 apiece and gave them $20 apiece spending money. Sarah said, Dad, before I could get that stuff loaded and got out of there, we had $478. And I thought, hey, Sarah, forget the camp. Go to Hawaii, girl. You've knocked a hole in the bottom of heaven. Did you ever have God just back his truck up to you? Did you ever have something come right out of the blue that you didn't deserve? Did you ever have God just show up when you were at your lowest point and least spiritual point? Thank God I serve the God of Jacob. And just show up. Just show up, show up, show up. Thank God. Hey, I've worked a bus route down Glen High Road, and there's a big Moravian church sitting there on the corner. I saw the pastor often. I didn't know him, but I saw him, and I turned the corner there at the church. Well, one day, it had a big yard, beautiful thing, and it had a large yard to mow, and the pastor was out in the yard one day, and a fella came with a pickup truck and a big trailer and backed up in his driveway with one of these huge John Deere mowers. I mean the kind you put implements on. I mean 70-inch cut. I'm talking about a high-dollar machine, big time. John Deere's the big name in our part of the country. And I mean, really. And so he backed up. He got out, worker got out, said, I came to deliver your lawnmower. He said, oh, no, you didn't. You didn't come to deliver our lawnmower. We didn't buy it. We can't afford it. I said, well, is this your name? He said, yes, it is. He said, well, I was told to deliver this lawnmower right here. He said, well, sir, you got the wrong information. You better call headquarters. He said, I ain't calling nobody. I do what I'm told. And he said, well, sir, if you unload that tractor here, you're going to have to come back and get it. Because we didn't buy it. We can't afford it. And you're going to leave it sitting in our driveway. We wouldn't know what to do with it. And he was arguing all the time. This fella fired that thing up, bagged it down off the trailer, and folding the ramps back in. The pastor still protesting profusely. And finally, the fella pulled off his dark sunglasses and says, can't a friend do something for a friend? And it was Andy Griffith. That's who it was. It delivered the mower. He knew this guy from, I think they went to Wake Forest together, and he heard he needed a lawnmower. Andy Griffith went and bought this big lawnmower and asked the dealer if he could deliver it himself, and he did. Well, now I want to tell you something. Andy Griffith has never backed his truck up in my driveway. But I'll promise you this right now. I've had God back his truck up a few times in my driveway. I remember one night we voted to buy some property. I didn't want to buy it. It was all around our church. We needed it. I didn't have the faith to buy it, but my men insisted we buy it. I thought, boys, y'all are not the one the treasurer calls when you can't pay the light bill on Monday morning. Yeah, it's easy for you to talk. And bought that thing, and I was worried sick. I got up and preached a sermon on going into Canaan. And I said, folks, we're in trouble. We bought something we can't pay for. I don't know what we're going to do. And y'all can go home. I got to go to the altar. And I went to the altar, and I was so worried and lack of faith. And I didn't pray for about 90 seconds. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I stood up, and it was a visitor. He'd only been there once before, a farmer. He said, can I say a word? I said, yeah. He got in the pulpit, said a few words. He said, oh, and started out of the pulpit. He said, oh, by the way, God laid on my heart down here to give you 50% of everything you just voted to spend. And in 48 hours, it was in our treasury. God had just backed his truck up. Boy, God wants to back his truck up in your life. I'm thinking people right here, you wait until you get spiritual enough for God to show up. Well, I got news for you. You're going to be waiting a long time. You're not worthy of God. You're not worthy of his blessings. I'm not worthy of his blessings. I can't pray enough. I can't have enough vision. I can't have enough dedication. I can't have enough consecration. I can't have enough energy. I can't have enough vision. But I want to tell you one thing right now. I've got the God of Jacob on my side. If you just start believing the God of Jacob wants to do something for you this morning, why don't you recognize the God of Jacob? Well, I'm unworthy. Well, Rudy toot toot. Yes, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob just shows up to the unworthy. Something else I found out about the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is the God that can change your name. Look with me in Genesis 32. Genesis 32, look at it with me now. The God of Jacob. Now here's Jacob, he's worried sick. Years have gone by. Years have gone by since Jacob and his brother departed. And now Esau had, the last he knew of him, he's coming to kill him. So some of Jacob's men were out on a scout. And while out there in Genesis 32, verse number 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Yeah, yeah. Now, wait a minute. Yeah. He had not seen his brother. He had not seen his brother since he cheated him, lied, and stole from him, and since the last word he had, his brother was coming to kill him. That's the last word he had. Now his brother's coming to meet him with 400 men. Don't sound like a birthday party, does it? It don't sound like a good meeting's about to take place. So what did Jacob do? Jacob went to prayer. Look in verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. He begins to pray. Now look in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now, wait a minute. Boy, here's this. All night long he prayed until Jacob's hip was out of joint. He lived, I guess, the rest of his life. And Jacob said, I've got to have you. He's going to kill me. The man's going to kill me, kill our wives, our children. I've got to have you, God. He said, let me go. I've got to get back to heaven. No, no, I've got to have you. Let me go. I've got to go. No, no. What's your name? What's your name? And in the midst of all that wrestling with God, Jacob had to answer that question. He knew what his name meant. But for the first time in his life, he admitted to God, my name means Jacob, supplanter, conniver, deceiver. And God said, that's it. You won't be called Jacob anymore. We're going to call you Israel. And outside of the names that's given to God, the word Israel is the most precious word in all the Bible. Oh, yes. I'm telling you something. God changed his name. When your name is called, what do people think? You that are here, we've got 21 people from Marion Avenue Baptist Church here, as I know of right now. Amen. And under the able leadership of Pastor Joseph Brown. When your name is called in your church group of people that know you, what hits their mind? As we sweep this, for most of us, it'd be a mixed bag. Well, some good and some bad, you know. Sometime faithful, sometime not. Sometime nasty. Sometime dirty-minded. Sometime lazy, you know, God can change your name. Sometimes selfish, a worry wart, lethargic, no self-discipline, evil thoughts, a do-nothing. Yeah. When your name is called, what do people think? There's a lot of people in this room need a name change. You need a name change, and you know it. Amen. You know it. I remember when God changed my name years ago, I had a problem. I really don't want to tell you about it, but confession is good for the soul, but it's hard on the reputation. Did you know that? But I will tell you, I inherited from my daddy and from the devil a temper. I was a high-strung type fella, and I had a short fuse sometime, and I'd lose my temper. When I was 25, I married a 20-year-old young girl from our church, a wonderful. She and I were married 39 years, raised 7 children together. But anyway, she didn't know I had a temper. She hadn't been married to me long enough to know I had a temper. And I'd been in Iowa only a year and a half, with just getting the church off the ground. I was preaching in some church south of Des Moines, about 50 miles. It was late at night. We were driving home that night, didn't have money for a motel, so we were driving home, and we weren't having a fuss. That's no words or anything. It's just the spirit wasn't good in the car. We had no children, just she and I. You married people know what I mean. You can't put it in words, but it's just not a good, you know, the frequency's not matching just like it should. And all of that. You've been there. You know, don't look at me as pious as the Pope. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So we were riding along, and I'm tired. And I said to her, you know, I believe I've missed Interstate 80. I'm trying to connect with 80 and go east. She said, you have. I thought I was hearing things. I said, I have. She said, yeah. I said, how do you know I missed Interstate 80? She said, I saw the sign 10 miles back, said Interstate 80 next right. I'm driving. I said, let's get this straight. You saw a sign 10 miles back, said Interstate 80 next right? She said, mm-hmm. I'm still trying to comprehend what she's saying. And I said, so you didn't say anything? She said, no. I said, why didn't you say something? She said, because I thought, you're the leader. Ooh, it started in my ankles. I mean, it worked its way up in my hips and all under my arms. And my face was getting red and I got blurry. I never said a word at that point. She could tell something bad had happened in that car. Bad. I did a U-turn in a very illegal place and I drove back to Interstate 80 and I got on Interstate. A full 10 minutes went by and it kept building and building and building. And finally, I pulled over on the side of the road and turned the key off and I sat sideways in that seat and I said, let me tell you something, woman. I didn't hit her. I wanted to, but I didn't hit her. I didn't cuss. If you'd have wrote it down, I'd sign my name to it, but I didn't cuss. But I said some things I should have never said in a way that I should have never said them. Now, I've never heard God talk out loud, but I started that car up while she bawled. I started that car up and I pulled out on 80. And just as real as if God had spoke to me out loud, he said, Larry Brown, I will never use you. You'll never build a church. You'll never be a blessing to people until you get victory over that temper. And I won't tell you how long I spent when I got home that night. And I won't tell you all that transpired. Doesn't matter. But I'll tell you this. I got a daughter sitting over here who's never heard her daddy yell and carry on at her mama, not once. I knew I needed a name change. I knew my name needed to be changed. And I'm speaking to people in this room. It may be temper. It may be lust. It may be lethargy. It may be something else. It may be jealousy. It may be 100. It may be pride. Yeah, pride. Pride destroys more marriages and keeps more churches from growing and splits more churches and destroys more relationships than any other word I can use. Pride. Pride. And you need a name change. You need a name change. You can wrestle with the angels of God all night as long as you want to. But until you answer that question, what is my name? You will never have victory. I serve the God. Don't you get tired? Don't you get, you know, the Lord said to Peter, said, now, Peter was big mouth. He said, now, Peter, when you get converted, he was already saved, but he needed to be converted. When you're converted, you will strengthen your brother. Don't you love that verse, 1 Samuel 10, verse number 6, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt become another man. Aren't you tired of being who you are? Aren't you sick and tired of standing and staring in the mirror and looking at yourself and saying, you sorry, low-down. Aren't you glad the God of Jacob can show up and change your... Look, I didn't go home that day and say, God, forgive me, I spoke wrong and I lost my... I didn't just run to her and say, honey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done what... Oh, I did. Of course I did. But I needed more than that. I needed more than that. I needed more than just another confession. I just needed to have my name changed, and God changed my name. God changed my name. Well, good night. I'm past time, preacher. I'm just getting down to the good part. But anyway, has God spoken? How about the God of Jacob? How about the God of Jacob? I'll finish this some other time. How about the God of Jacob? Has he showed up in your life? You say he hasn't. He will if you'll believe in him. He will if you'll accept what I preached to you this morning. There's a God up there. I don't have to climb that ladder to the spiritual level so God can show up. And I believe in climbing the ladder. But you're never going to climb that ladder. And you're never going to have the faith and the inspiration and the vision to have the dedication you're talking about unless the God of Jacob first shows up in your life. And I'll tell you what, right now, he's waiting for you to just say, God, I'm going to be the best I can, but Lord, I can't attain unto what you require, and I need your help. And oh, God of Jacob, would you show up in my life? And God will do that. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.